was another school of psychology that in the meantime had started here, begun by an American named William James. Where did it begin? Harvard University. William James, a guy that we can all relate to. William James, he was a student at Harvard. He was a pre-med student. William James, when he was in high school, they said, have you decided on a school? And he said, yes, I want to go to Harvard University. They said, well, that's very impressive. That's a very, very fine school. Difficult to get into. He said, I don't think I'll ever go. I said, okay, well, you have your heart set on this and you really think you can handle the work. Fine. Father says to him, casually, by the way, William, what do you want to major in? At Harvard University. And William James said, art. So I said, what? I want art. I want to be an art major. I want to be an artist. William James's father is a man that's very prudent. He then proceeds to announce to his son that he doesn't have to spend the better part of a small fortune to send his son to Harvard University to learn to draw and paint. He said, you can go to a studio in Boston or up to Maine, or you can go to New York City, to Greenwich Village, and you can learn to be an artist anyplace. I don't have to spend a fortune to send you to Harvard University to learn to be an artist. You may want to reconsider that decision, William, and maybe decide on a field that someday will enable you to support yourself. William James wasn't dumb either. He thought about it for a very short period of time, got back to his father and said, Father, I believe that you're correct. I have changed my mind. I would like to go to Harvard University, and I would like to major in biology as a pre-med student, and I would like to study medicine. Father said, really? Yes. He said, you're not just making it. No, that's what I want to do. Father said, fine, then I'll pay the bills. William James went to Harvard. And after 2, maybe 3 years at Harvard University, he begins having personal problems. You ever notice how we like to talk about in these euphemisms? Somebody turns the corner on us and falls off the edge, and we say, they had a nervous breakdown. You know what the hell a nervous breakdown is? I don't, and I've been a clinical psychologist for more than 30 years. Nerves don't break down. There ain't no such thing as a nervous breakdown. You're either sane or not sane. You're mentally healthy or not healthy. William James had a nervous breakdown. He had personal problems. He began to experience incredibly high levels of anxiety, lapses in concentration, inabilities to think clearly, disrupted sleep during the night, problems with episodic depression. In short, it was a basket case. He came to the realization after spending an inordinate amount of money and a tremendous amount of time and effort, because he was a straight-A student, worked his butt off, that he was in the process of preparing for a profession and a career that he hated and didn't want to go into. Well, what in God's name was he going to do? Go home and tell his father that after spending the money? So he went home and he told his father he was having personal problems. Father said, I think you need to take a leave of absence. Let's write him a letter, explain your circumstances, and I think you want to take a sabbatical, just leave school, some time for rest and relaxation while you get yourself together. So William James said, okay. Father said, and while you're out of school, he said, I think probably the best place for you to relax and to kind of get yourself together and clear your mind and get yourself back in a more conducive mode so that you can be as productive as you were before. He said, I'd like to send you on a little vacation. Where would you like to go? And William James thought about it, not very long, thought about it. He said, well, I've never been to Paris. Father said, Paris? Yeah, that's where I'd really like to go. Father said, all right, I'll send you to Paris. William James traveled to Paris. And there's only so many museums and cathedrals you can visit in Paris. I bet you can drive yourself buggy after a while, just trying to see all the sights. So he's a student. I mean, he loves to read, he loves to learn. He goes to the University of Paris library, identifies himself as a student from America, to check out some, and what does he discover? Articles written by this guy named Kant. And he starts reading about this field called psychology, and aha! All of a sudden, he finds something that he can really relate to. It may not be art, but it sure isn't surgery. It does not go home and inform his parents what he has discovered, but reads everything written by Wundt or one of his colleagues he can lay his hands on, comes back to the United States, returns to Harvard University. Now his battery is recharged. he's ready to go. He applies himself to his studies and does so well in his last stint there at Harvard that when he graduates from Harvard University with his medical degree, MD, they immediately, upon graduation, offer him, what does he teach at Harvard? Anatomy and physiology. Anatomy and physiology, same thing Blunt was teaching. But here's, and this is important for you to know, a tribute to his versatility. During his career at Harvard University, he was a full professor in three different subject areas: anatomy and physiology, psychology, and philosophy. He taught all three fields and was knowledgeable. He teaches for a short period of time their medical students. And they come to him and they say, you know, it has come to our attention that there is an increasing number of schools in Europe and in the United States that are interested in offering courses in this new field. What's it called? Psychology. Would you be interested at all in teaching? And he jumped on that like a dog on a bone. Absolutely. He is the first one to organize and teach a course in psychology at Harvard University. Later, he establishes an experimental laboratory at Harvard, but it's not to conduct research. He does little mini experiments just to show the students how it's done so that they can take some training in experimental science. William James is a man who has some opinions. First of all, William James was a guy who was incredibly popular with his students. At the time, most of the professors were very formal, come to class, stand behind a podium, lecture to their students, wearing their doctoral robes and what have you. William James would show up to class without a tie, would take the jacket off, hang it over the chair, and would sit on the desk and talk to his students informally, conversationally. One of the most popular teachers to teach them. Students loved him. He related most effectively to his students. He took a very personal approach in what he communicated to his students. He was a very effective teacher. William James was of the opinion, in fact, this is what he said. You don't have to get the quote, but the idea is important. His version of psychology, he felt, had to be different than Wundt's, he said, because, and I quote, no one but a German scientist could teach psychology the way Wundt does. Unquote. He said, that approach to psychology is tedious and boring. He said, studying psychology the way Wundt does is like trying to figure out, this is his analogy, trying to figure out how to build a brick building by analyzing each brick one at a time. It gives you lots to do, but you don't get anything accomplished. He said, I'm not interested in studying the structure of the mind. He said, I'm interested in how the human mind functions. See the name? How does the functioning of the mind affect the way people function in their everyday life? Notice the use of that word again. He was interested in the following. He was interested in the process of human development. How do people grow and develop? How do they go from children to adults? How do they establish the kinds of goals educationally, occupationally, and professionally that they do? How does the activity of a person and their psychological makeup affect the way they function in their everyday life? He was interested in the spiritual side of people. He was interested in the study of religion and how people's belief systems affect their values, which affect their standards of conduct. He defines psychology this way. This you need to get. He defines psychology as, and it's a much more generic definition, he defines psychology as the science of mental life. How people function psychologically expresses itself and affects all aspects of the way that person lives their life. The science of mental life. So he found room in the field of psychology for almost every aspect of human function. Now, I've tried to give you a timeline here. That's when Wundt started his school. I put 1889 here, and that's an important date, perhaps, say, some people, the most important date in psychology. William James discovered the same thing Book did. There were no books in psychology. No course notes, no syllabi, no course outlines, no study guide, nothing. But unlike Bunt, who contented himself to do experiments and write up the experiments and get them published in journals, William James decided to take the bull by the horns. So he started writing a book, and he contacted a couple of publishers. One publisher made him a very fine offer. They said they were interested in publishing this book. And so William James wrote the first chapters, multiple chapters, and he sent them to the publisher, and they wrote back and said, thank you very much, we're going to print the book. He said, wait a minute, I'm not finished yet. They said, oh yes you are, this is enough for one book. If you want to keep writing, that's okay, we'll publish a second book. The book was finished in 1889, and in 1890, the first textbook ever written on the subject of psychology was published. It's called The Principles of Psychology. Please note, it is two books. It's a two-volume set of books covering the whole field of psychology. Everything that was known at that time is in those two volumes. That's why people continue. It was a huge task. So he kept writing, and he ended up publishing that two-volume set of books. Now, he intended to use these books, a limited number of them, for his students. What happened was that by the time the book came out, they were offering psychology classes at Harvard and at Cornell and Johns Hopkins University and the University of Chicago, and a number of different schools were now offering courses in psychology, and those professors jumped on the bandwagon and decided to use his book. So by the time Edward Titchener got here, there was already another school of psychology existing in this country that was established because William James had published the book, had put down his ideas, and that's what was being used at a variety of colleges and universities around the country. But a couple of things you ought to know. James and Bunt knew about each other, and they didn't like each other very much. James thought that Bunt's ideas were tedious and boring and like eating a mouthful of sawdust. Bunt thought that James's ideas were not scientific enough, not experimental enough. Talked about it as soft science rather than hard science. But regardless of how you look at it, make sure you're using the sharp end of your pencil on this. Regardless of how you define it, psychology began as a Germanic science, meaning it originated in Germany, and defined its role as the study of the conscious mind of the normal human adult. I certainly can. Would you like me to?
Yes.
Okay. The study of the conscious mind of the normal human adult. Everybody's interested in the study of consciousness. What we know, what we think, how we decide things, how we solve problems, how we remember stuff. We now have two competing schools of thought, one on either side of the Atlantic, fighting for turf. When at this point in time, along comes the first serious challenge to the field of psychology and what it's doing and what it purports to do, again from outside the field of psychology, by a little known Viennese neurologist, a physician by the name of Dr. Sigmund Freud.